What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we were just talking about snow days. And because obviously it's snowing in Houston.
Yes.
All right. That's
a little bit.
It's very notable.
Just a little.
Just a little bit of a tease ahead.
I couldn't tell at first.
Yeah. That's right. A little bit of a tease ahead. What's popping? There will be some snow talk as well. I apologize if you're fed up with it, but there will be a little bit of snow talk because it is indeed what is popping.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about that. Various people talking about their snow day activities and the things that they're doing. Shout out to the listener from the 719. They live in Colorado Springs, and we actually got more snow than they did. Now
that's crazy.
They do have a temperature of -9, so I feel like we probably still win there.
Yeah.
But we be in Colorado on precipitation.
Trust me, we don't want no parts of -9 down here.
Not the slightest.
I'll take some snow.
And if we don't want no parts of -9, Brandon on the YouTube's talking about the worst that he remembers is waking up in Canada to -53. And
God.
That's not even a real thing in my brain.
Oh.
My brain doesn't even compute that.
Good Lord, -53. What do you do with that? Like, literally, what do you... That's not even a snow day.
I have a single word for what to answer your question. Hibernate.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You sleep it off.
And just wait for it to pass.
That is... At least that's my plan of attack.
Don't leave the house.
Like, just lower my body temperature or lower my blood, my heart rate and hope that I can go into hibernation mode and just wake up when it's over.
Yeah.
That's my personal idea. But yeah, stay safe out there, especially if you're out there in these streets. Because you might end up like John Lopez with your truck on the side of the road. All right, let's go around the NFL. Oh, actually, before we move any further, I did mention also one more thing on the snow day, which is that Brandon Scott, our guy B. Scott from Hiram Clark, he had been playing with the babies. He had lost his phone in the snow. I just got a text.
Oh, did you?
We were starting the segment.
He found the phone.
He found his phone.
There we go.
The phone is found. So expect to hear B. Scott from Hiram Clark at 11:20 in the next segment. But right now, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. I begin with the thing that I mentioned in that, what was the second segment of the show, with the Los Angeles Rams. Los Angeles Rams bounced out of the playoffs by the Philadelphia Eagles this past weekend in the divisional round. And immediately one of the things that shows up, I guess, are some of the guys that are a little bit older in that locker room, right? They have a little bit of a changing of the guard eras wise for them when they were, you know, gearing up to try and push for that Super Bowl. Remember the F them picks time period.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, interestingly enough, it's one of the major things about this Rams team is they've turned around that defense with drafting in the second on day two and day three of the draft. And they've hit on all those. But now you're coming in with young guys that are filling in those spots. However, some of the old guys are still there. Matt Stafford, one of those. He seems to have proved that maybe he has a little bit more juice.
I think so. He got a little bit. He just got to stay healthy, stay on the field.
Yeah, and I'm not sold about that, to be honest. No, I'm not. And maybe I should have questions about this guy's receiver. Cooper Kupp said yesterday that there is, quote, no doubt in his mind that he wants to play football next season. And while he would love to be in L.A., he has no control what will happen in the offseason. So that actually brings up an interesting question, as this is a team that clearly these Texans are going to need a wide receiver next year. Cooper Kupp is a guy who has dealt with a decent amount of injury, and he has a level of age that we were talking about as well. Is Cooper Kupp an interesting idea at all to you for, like, potentially wide receiver? I know that a lot of people look for wide receiver in the draft this year, relatively early for the Texans, but if you were inclined to go for a veteran at all, would Cooper Kupp interest you at all?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that worries me is, you know, we talked about salary earlier, and I mean, you know, his cap hit is, what, $29 million? Next year, I believe. I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
right,
but
right
I think
now.
I think you'd be talking about probably a buyout. I don't know that they would, or not a buyout, but they would. You know, they have a option, or they have an out there where they. I don't think that they would be like, "Hey, we're going to
on
trade
the
him
line
necessarily."
For all of that,
I don't think that. I feel like you'd be signing him up for something.
Yeah, much cheaper than that. I would hope.
Because if we're talking about this at the cap hit that he's at, I think that's the reason why there's an uncertainty if he'll be back with the Rams next season.
Yeah. And let's be realistic here. He's already seen his replacement. His replacement is already there. Puka Nacua has basically become the number one there. So he sees the writing on the wall. I believe, you know, for many factors, he's been hurt the past couple years as well.
31 years old, similar injury situation. Yeah. Like at that point, I do wonder, like, would you feel more comfortable with Stephon Diggs because he has been in your system, although his injury is more recent and he is actively having to rehab it?
I mean, if you can get Cooper Kupp, you know, for not necessarily on the cheap, but cheaper than what he would make, you know, if he were to stay with the Rams, I think you can go for that. But, you know, if you're going to have to pay him almost $30 million, then there's no way.
Yeah, I can't. And
not trading for him, you know, straight up like that.
No, and I wouldn't want to give up assets in that situation.
There's no way.
You already traded for Stephon Diggs last year. I don't want to have what ends up being like an asset drain. That's one of the things I absolutely hate about an organization is when it just feels like you're slowly dripping assets and then you look up and they're not there for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, some 936 says they'd much rather trade for Garrett Wilson or Tyreek. I'm interested more, clearly going to be more interested in Garrett Wilson because of the
age
that exists there, right? Tyreek is an interesting one. I do wonder how he if that works well with what you're doing. And of course, I guess we'll have to have the conversation about what's the offense look like next year. Like, do you have an offense that is similar either from Bobby Slowick remaining here or another Shanahan type disciple as that offense continues to take over the lead? Or is there a situation where you could see a different offensive philosophy come in that maybe, you know, has the opportunity to utilize that deep threat a little bit better?
I think it's possible to see a different philosophy come in. And I mean, and that goes to, you know, we haven't touched on it much here yet, but I know at some point, you know, is Bobby Slowick going to be back? That's like the lingering question or elephant in the room, whatever you want to call
it.
You know, and I was talking to a buddy Saturday during that game, and I'm like, you know, if they keep settling for field goals, I mean, I can see this being, you know, not the, I guess, final straw, but a huge determining factor in them just saying, okay, this offense just isn't it with Bobby Slowick. You know what I mean? And potentially moving on. Now, if they don't do that, obviously, we talked about it earlier, there's going to be a lot of changes. We talked about offensive line. They need another receiver. I'm still not sure if Stephon Diggs is going to be back. And I mean, even if he is, we don't know where he's going to be coming off that injury.
Yeah, and you see the videos of rehab, but I want to do a project.
We see guys working out all the time.
Right, exactly. The Workout Chronicles. We are officially in the offseason, although he was obviously working out prior. But yeah, I'm interested in going back and looking, just, and not that it's going to be the end all be all because different dudes rehab in different ways, but coming back off of ACLs, especially if I could find it at a certain age for different wide receivers, what that looks like. But continuing around the NFL, we circle back around to the AFC South, the division that your Houston Texans still won back to back years. Don't forget that. And it's one that we've talked about as, hey man, this is there for the taking for the foreseeable future with the way the teams have run. I'm interested, does this change your mind at all as the Colts are hiring former Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo to take over those same duties in Indianapolis? So he will now be their defensive coordinator for the Colts. He has been in charge of a couple of defenses that have not been all that good the last couple of years for the Bengals. This year in particular.
I was going to say,
putrid.
They were horrible this year defensively. The only reason they were
29th in yards. Not that yards is the best way to look
at it. But I mean, in points, they weren't much better.
No, they were not.
As far as ranking.
Let me get you the good old EPA here soon, and you can enjoy just how poorly it looks there as well.
So I mean, but I don't know how big of a difference he makes for the Colts defense.
And that's why I asked the question, because Lou Anarumo has been in charge of some strongly heralded defenses in those years prior to that. And of course, even this year's defense, they tightened up when they were like, when they're behind starter pucker. They're like, wait, let's get together. And they tightened up a little bit.
But it was still too late by then.
It was very much too late. And still wasn't great. But I also acknowledge the Cincinnati Bengals historically have been a deeply, deeply cheap franchise.
And yes.
They got Joe Burrow, and it looked like they got their act together for a little bit. And then free agency came, and you saw the likes of Jesse Bates and some of those other really good defensive players leave. And so I asked myself, how much of that is also not having the support and investment of a franchise to actually give you talented players? Because, again, Lou Anarumo he was looked at as a potential head coaching candidate not a year or two ago. A
couple years ago, yeah.
Because of how good he was at scheming up defense. So I do wonder, does that give you any level of pause in division that you go from Gus Bradley, who, I don't know how he keep getting jobs in the NFL, right? and as a defensive coordinator, to now Lou Anarumo, who at least a couple years ago was looked at as a very, very good defense coordinator.
I mean, it can maybe make you pause a little bit, but again, like you just mentioned, you know, we talk about schemes and coaches and coordinators all the time, but you still got to have the dogs to pull the sled,
man.
It's not
the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes.
There you go. You got to have the dogs out there pulling that sled.
I like that. You made it a little snow reference. Dogs pulling the sled.
I do what I can every now and then. But, you got to have the players. So, we talk about, even you can look at the Houston's. Texans offense this season and offensive line. We thought they had the players. Now that could be more scheme, but we thought they had the players. But obviously, we're talking about replacing 2 to 3 guys on the offensive line this offseason. So apparently, they did not have all the players there in place that they thought was going to take them to the next level as far as that offensive line goes.
I'll be completely honest. I am very interested in what that Colts team will look like under Lou Anarumo, even though, EPA-wise, evenly, efficiency-wise, they were 27th. So, like, the Bengals, rather.
Bengals.
Compared to the Colts, who were, they were 14th EPA-wise. That was not
middle of the road.
And we know that they have some talent on that defense. Yeah. And they've drafted some good ones, too. Like, that defensive line shows some possesses things that can be problems for you. Obviously, ultimately, where that team goes, it'll be, can Shane Steichen elevate the level of play of Anthony Richardson? But I think that defense can be really interesting under Lou Anarumo. I feel like, hey, look, the AFC South made a hire that was pretty good. Now, continuing around the NFL, here's an AFC South looking stupid as Ben Johnson, formerly the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, will now be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He's agreed to take that job in division for him. And it makes sense. Like, that is a team that has a young quarterback with a lot of talent and a defense with some nice personnel involved there as well. So it feels like, hey, that's a pretty nice situation. Now, you, in talking about this before the show, you brought up one big issue that keeps popping up when you talk about the Chicago Bears, and that is
that they're just a mess.
That's right.
I told you, I was in Chicago for a few years, covered the Bears a little bit, and it just seems like anytime it seems like they've gotten it right, it's still wrong.
It's somehow wrong.
It's just, I'm not one that really believes in, I'm not real superstitious and believe in curses and all that, but it just feels like they are cursed. You know what I mean? Like, they cursed, just cannot get it right. No matter what regime.
Pretty bad ownership too.
And that's really what it comes down to, is the ownership. Because the ownership is the one making most of these decisions.
Yeah. Well,
as far as who to bring in, as far as the regime.
Right. And they've stuck. This is another instance. Ryan Poles was one of those guys that I know Bears fans in particular were clamoring to get out of there. He's still in charge. He makes this hire, which I imagine is a good one. We'll see if they continue to put the good things. But, that's a defensive line that has Montez Sweat, that has, obviously, Jalen Johnson and Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker, like a really good defensive secondary. And we saw them this year. Like, they have some nice things working there. So
they got some pieces.
We'll see if also remember when early on in the coach carousel, when it was floated out there that the Bears were concerned about Ben Johnson's leadership stuff. Like, he has the scheme, but can he be kind of
smoke screens?
I was like, do you believe that to be a smoke screen, or is that going to be something that we actually have to watch for him in his tenure as the head coach?
Yeah.
I imagine, yes, you're probably right.
Yeah,
in that
all
way.
Smoke screens.
The reason why I tie that to the AFC South is that according to Diana Russini, the Jaguars were interested in Ben Johnson, but she was told that the setup that they have was not in line with what he was looking for in his first head coaching job. And I will do my best to be a front office translator. And that means he definitely didn't work with want to work with Trent Baalke. That's what okay. it sounded like.
I was going to say set up in terms of the front office, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the weird situation when you had Shad Khan and Trent Baalke on a video conference call with the media, at which point Shad Khan basically says, with Trent Baalke sitting right there, I mean, yeah, if a coach comes in and says that they want to, like, you know, have a different structure, I'd be willing to hear them out. And if they're right, we would change it. And I'm like, dog,
right next to you.
But if you're that willing, why not make the change?
Right. Yes.
And it feels like, again, reading between the lines, that might also have been exactly what lost them out on the most coveted coaching candidate this cycle.
So in Ben Johnson's estimation, the Jaguars are an even bigger mess than the Bears.
Ooh, that's a great way of putting it. I like that. Hey, Jaguars.
That's what I read.
Hold that.
That's right? What I read.
There are people in the industry that look around at the Jaguars and like, I'd rather go to the Bears.
Yeah. That's how I read that.
That is tough.
And I'm someone that still believes Trevor Lawrence can be maybe not exactly what we thought he would coming in, but can still be a really good quarterback.
Good starter in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I still think he can be
one that. Would imagine so, but they're going to have to find themselves probably a head coach or at least an offensive coordinator with the system to do that in a strong way. We'll see, man. This has been a weird coaching cycle because I look at some of these jobs and I'm like, I don't love them, but they're out there, man. Shout out to Ben Johnson also not going to the Raiders as possibly reported. And I was like,
they thought they were getting Ben Johnson. They really thought that.
I don't know who the hell they think they are.
Man,
somebody got to come and coach this. O'Donnell?
Yeah. I think it's O'Connell.
Yeah. Somebody going to want to come coach Aiden. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's see if the phone of one Brandon K. Scott has thawed out from being in the snow. Let's see if we can get some B. Scott thoughts next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
It's going down. H-Town. Howard Clark. B. Scott.
It is indeed time to talk to B. Scott from Hiram Clark. And Brandon Scott, our guy, he is not in studio because I'm not a sick man. I'm not somebody who's going to demand that people traverse the snow and such. And honestly, I don't think I could demand. I feel like B. Scott would have told me where to shove it if I tried to pull that car because he is at home with the babies having fun. Apparently having too much fun. B. Scott, how you living, brother?
Man, I am thankfully living with a phone. I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make this hit happen without no phone. I tried to figure out, like, how do I even let Reggie know that I can't be on the air if I ain't got no phone to hit him up, man? I had to go to that desktop and hit you up the old hard way. But I'm doing good, man. We've tried to make a snowman, but we're not built for that. So we did a little sightseeing in the neighborhood, walked around, drove around the block a little bit.
Oh, y'all got the car moving?
That wasn't happening either. So it's been a full day here for it to only be just around noon, just under noon.
Wow. Y'all got the car moving for that and everything.
Got further than John did.
Yeah, that's true. Because this is, if you don't know, Chris Partee is in because John Lopez got his truck stuck on a hill.
hey, look, as somebody who tried to get out of his neighborhood, look, let me be clear. I've only made it around my neighborhood going around 15 to 20 miles an hour. So who knows at what time I would have had to have left the house just to have made it. I probably would have had to leave the house at like 6 or 7 right around when Painter Pendergast got started just to get to you in time. So I understand and feel John's pain right now.
Very good. We've been, just to let you know, we've been making sure that he's still a part of the show and not just sleeping in this time where he's supposed to be working by calling him periodically. But yeah, we appreciate you jumping on with us. All right. I did want to make sure that we did not deprive you of the space. And just because I enjoy hearing what you got, you have any thoughts that you've been ruminating on?
Yeah, man. So my thought really more than anything to put a bow on the game over the weekend. And I know we're probably moving on at this point, but I just felt like that game was there for the taking for the Texans. And while the officiating did not help, it in fact did help the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't feel like it prevented the Texans from winning the game. And so that's how I came away from it, still feeling really salty and really in my feelings about it, because I'm like, man, even with the poor officiating, there were moments there for the taking when they could have won the game or when they could have scored points, scored more than 12 points, or scored a touchdown, or made a field goal, or made a play, and they just did not. And so I came away from it feeling like there was more so that the Texans left on the table than I did feel cheated. But at the same time, we got to acknowledge the foolery that was going on with some of those calls, man. Like, it, I think two things can be true at the same time, and the fact that it would happen against the Chiefs kind of exasperates everything. So that's where I am on that game specifically. As far as the season, like, I thought it was a successful season overall. You win the division, you get to the playoffs, you win a playoff game. But if they want to be a serious outfit, if they want to be a serious contender, be anything like the Kansas City Chiefs, be anything like the teams that are still standing, the Buffalo Bills, they've got to build a team that can survive a playoff atmosphere. When you need to run the ball, you need to be able to run the ball. When you need to come up with a big play on special teams, you need to be able to do that. But for me, it all starts up front, man. Like, this whole offseason, as we talk about it from day to day, week to week, it's going to be about how do the Texans reimagine themselves as a physical football team that can impose their will. All of the teams that we thought could win the Super Bowl or still think can win the Super Bowl are able to impose their will in some form or fashion, and the Texans just simply do not have that. So from guard to guard, the interior offensive line, maybe even the offensive line as a whole, and it sounds like they're going to start with the offensive line coach, but that is where it needs to begin for this team to transform from being a nice story, a cute team to watch, to becoming a serious contender in the end.
Yeah, man. We're talking to our guy, B. Scott, from Hiram Clark now. And I'm with you there. I think that's the first place we start. In fact, we were like, oh, what do they need to do to get over the hump? And we spent the whole segment just talking about the offensive line. We didn't even get down. We didn't even get done with it. We still got to come back to it. But no. With that, everybody's like, all right, changes need to happen. I don't think you can run back this five by any stretch. With that being the case, over under at 1.5, how many changes can you imagine or do you feel like would be necessary on this offense or even capable or viable of happening on this offensive line?
Yeah, if you're setting the over under at 1.5, I'm going to go way over because I think you could, and it depends on how much you view Blake Fisher as a change, because obviously he played quite a bit.
I don't view him as a change.
And was thrust into that position at right tackle. So maybe that one doesn't count, but I could still give you three. I mean, look, Jarrett Patterson did a good job for what he was asked to do, but I don't think you could say that his job is necessarily safe as the center going forward. So, again, from guard to guard, left guard, center, and right guard are all obvious positions, and then the tackles are expensive. And I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth paying this much money for tackles for an offensive line overall? Because, look, offensive line, you need all five, right? Like, you can't just have one guy. It's not quarterback. You need all five. So is it worth it to us to pay this much money for our tackles if we're not getting as much from our interior and our overall offensive line is just not that good? Like, what's the point in paying that much money and investing that much into the offensive line if the overall production is going to be what it's going to be? So if you're going to set the over-under at 1.5, brother, I'm going to go way over because I'm starting at the very least 3, and it can't be any less than 2.
Could I interest you, as we're trying to fix the offensive line here in B. Scott's thoughts, could I interest you in Tytus Howard fully making the transition to left guard and possibly making that more palatable with a reduction in salary if you can get that to go?
You can interest me in it a little bit, Reggie, but honestly, man, you can't. Like, you and I, after watching that game over the weekend, after watching that game on Saturday and the performance that Tytus Howard put up at guard, okay, and I'm not killing him for it because he's really a tackle, but, like, he wasn't good enough. He gave up a sack. He wasn't good enough in the run game, I don't think. I think he was much better in the run game. But, like, he's not good enough at guard for that to be anything more than a contingency plan, right? Like, they did that as a last-ditch effort. And you remember how I felt about it at the time.
Yeah.
And it ended up being the best plan that they could come up with for the personnel that they had. But with an entire offseason to plan, with an entire offseason to reflect and think about what you got going on, that to me cannot be your plan. Either he's your right tackle, or you're moving on from him, and Blake Fisher is your right tackle, which I think is a viable and a credible thing to put out there. And then you're remaking the interior of that offensive line. Like honestly, you could give me reasons why you would bring some of these guys back, but you're to me, you're unserious if you're not starting with, hey, we need to totally reimagine and replace the interior of this offensive line. So either Titus Howard is going back to right tackle, or you're failing to plan, which you know what that means. You're planning to fail.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Brandon, it's Chris Partee here. So Reggie and I, we talked about, obviously we talked about offensive line earlier. We also got into the wide receiver portion of this top of this team moving forward. Now, where are you at on wide receiver, and where do you think they might go, you know, if a Stephon Diggs is not back this next season?
Yes. I love the question, because I think that is the kind of the big question. Like, I don't think we thought going into the offseason that even if Stephon Diggs was going to be available, that was one of the, like, that's not one of the names that we were throwing around when we were talking about adding a wide receiver last year, and then that's who they got. Same thing with the running back. We were talking about signing Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or Jacobs, and then they ended up trading for Joe Mixon. So it's very much possible that the option is somebody that could be revealed to us later on. But I do think that it's just as pertinent now as it was then. Like the need to go out and get Stephon Diggs or whatever led you to that space, you should be in a similar space in this offseason, right? Given what happened to Stephon Diggs, and maybe even more so given what happened to Tank Dell, right?
Yep.
So like you're going into this year with Stephon Diggs not on the team anymore, a free agent, and knowing that Tank Dell not only is not going to play for you this year, but might not ever be the same player, right? And I think he factored into your long-term wide receiver plans in a similar way that Nico Collins did, right? So now you've got to reimagine that on top of the offensive line. I think you're looking at draft. I think the T. Higgins thing that is like I won't say elephant in the room, but something that people have been talking about ever since it was clear that he wasn't going to get paid that it is possible that the Bengals could part ways with him at some point. Like that's somebody that I think you got to look at. They 100% have to upgrade that wide receiver room, because for the second year in a row, you get down to the end of it, and you're kind of like pulling from the scraps. Like, think about it. Jarrett Wayne played significant snaps for them in an AFC divisional game, and you would have never thunk it. You would have never thunk it. So that's where we are now, man. You've got to figure that out, whether it be in the draft, free agency, or pulling one of those Stephon Diggs type of trades that we didn't see coming.
This, I mean, as you talked about that, and we'll wrap it up here, I imagine, I feel like you have a just like similarly to the offensive line, it might be a, you know, dual faceted effort where you get a free agent and you draft, because one of the things I was like, I mean, how many of the guys do you want at the top end? But it feels like you were in a place where you can't really trust Mechie and Hutchinson. Does that feel like, do those feel like, you know, kind of lost projects at this point, or are you still in on one or both?
Well, I think they're fine like on the team, but I think their roles and what we've seen from them is about what they're going to be. Like, I don't think any of those guys are going to ever be more than, you know, your third option, your third or fourth option. And I'm talking about just in the wide receiver, not counting your tight ends and your running back that might factor into the passing game as well. I'm talking about just within your wide receiver room. You're not talking about anything. Like, think about it. Who is the number? Let's forget about Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell for a second, because those were, we were having a debate going into the season. Who's the number one wide receiver? Mm-hmm. Who's the number two? Who is the number two wide receiver for the Texans right now? You got them? You got them by name? Because and you don't. And I'm going to tell you now, you don't, because they don't really have one. Right. They got to cast the guys around Nico Collins. And after that, the options are just limited. So like, I'm not out on Hutch. I'm not out on Mechie as, like, pieces of the team. But, like, to thrust them into, say, wide receiver number two role, to me, is more aspirational than functional, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's more something that you, it's more of hope trafficking than an actual plan that you should have.
Yeah. All right. There he is. Brandon Scott, B. Scott from Hiram Clark, joining us on the phone line here because he, you know, he's always working, even right. though he's spending time with the babies at the home, at house, you know,
multitasking,
doing the snow things and all that. What's been your favorite snow day activity on the day?
Man, so far it's just watching the kids do the snow angels, and then the activity that led to me losing the phone. Me and my son throwing the football around. Pretending to be in the frozen tundra. You know, I was trying to explain Lambeau Field to him and say, man, we're out at Lambeau Field. We're out here in Buffalo, like trying to give him that vibe. He wasn't getting it. He just wanted to play. but soon after that, man, I couldn't locate the phone. So what I'm going to do now is go out there and enjoy some more of this snow, but leave the phone inside.
Leave the phone in the house, please.
We've learned lessons today is what we have done. Yeah. We've gotten a lot smarter from listening to our guy, B. Scott. B. Scott, enjoy the rest of your day, my man.
Y'all do the same, man. And shout out to y'all for working, man. I can't help but to respect that, man. Shout out to y'all for working through the conditions.
Didn't have a choice, but yep.
We gonna make it happen.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know?
Work was open. I was scheduled to be here, so I had to be at work. That's how that worked.
Hey, got to get that check, baby.
That is right. There he goes. Brandon Scott, B. Scott from Hiram Clark, joining us here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Man, I always appreciate talking to him. It's always fun to get that level of perspective. Because he's got a good one, man. He's got a good one. All right. Coming up next in the Loop, let's get into what's popping on this Tuesday, this snowy Tuesday in Houston. And hey, look, what's popping is snow. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here on this snowy Tuesday here in Houston. Reginald Datatula, Chris Partee, and Colin Neal are the configuration on this day. No Lopez because he thought he was coming in. He was confident about it, too. He sent out a tweet and everything. Got in his car.
Almost cocky about it, huh?
Very cocky about it, in fact. And in fact, I'm going to be honest. And maybe this maybe that should have been confession or whatever. But yesterday, I mean, like, we knew the snow was coming even before yesterday.
Whatever. We were warned.
Right. We were forewarned. You are correct. And, you know, there was a call put out for everybody in the station. You're like, hey, man, you know, have do we need to get some plans in place? Let me know what's happening. And John was just like, no, you know, I'm in the loop, literally in the 610 loop. And, you know, I'll be able to traverse the surface streets and get here. Nope. Got in that truck, found himself an incline that was a little too high, apparently, for him. And he couldn't get into the studio.
B. Scott has been able to get around his neighborhood.
Yeah, but I feel like neighborhood's okay. Although neighborhood is a little
dangerous.
But John
couldn't even get off the block. John couldn't even get off the block, apparently.
I guess.
So where he's at, it must be really, really bad.
There's that hill. Yeah, there's the one hill, apparently.
The one hill in Houston.
Kept him out of there. But yeah, I feel like when it comes to like dealing with snow and driving, particularly as we don't have salt, we don't have like, you know, those plows. Highways, like we overlook Southwest Highway here, 59. You can see the places where enough cars have gone to kind of melt the snow into like some tracks that you can then follow.
Yeah.
It's the streets that are not well traveled.
Exactly.
That's like, hey man, you are going on snow that is maybe even like soon enough will melt and then solidify again to ice or whatever. And then you are just kind of, you got a little slip slide to you if you're not careful.
It's a risk. You're taking a risk.
There are definitely risks being out there. So make sure you take care of yourself if you do indeed have to leave the house.
Just stay home if you can.
I mean, yes, if possible.
No going nowhere.
Yeah, if possible, absolutely. Stay at the crib. Some other things that are popping, I guess, not in a good way, unfortunately. yesterday, the Rockets faced off against, they hosted, in fact, the Detroit Pistons. And the Pistons got a victory, 107-96, on the Rockets' home floor on MLK Day. And that was a little surprising because the Pistons, not particularly a great basketball team. Not a bad basketball team this year, though. Giving J.B. Bickerstaff and his staff some credit. Like, that is a team that is young and, you know, hungry, and they played like it. Cade Cunningham, guard there, had a crazy good game, 32 points on 12 of 22 shooting.
That kid is the truth.
He's really good. And usually one of the things I was a little disappointed in is Jalen Green didn't have an incredible game. 19 points.
Yeah.
8 of 21 shooting. Like, that was not great, especially with the kind of hot streak that he's been on, the high level play that he's been on. But also because that dude enjoys going up against Cade Cunningham. They got beef. And so I thought that that would bring also like the fullness of this out for him. Unfortunately, didn't quite do it. This was a game where it felt like, oh, okay, I see one of the places where not having, for me, Jabari Smith Jr. in this, I was like, it showed up a little bit because I was looking at, and of course, this is probably not the best way to look at it, just go through the box score. But going back and looking at it, hey, man, you got out-rebounded in this game by a good 13 rebounds, and that's not something that should happen with this Rockets team. Like, as they're constituted, boards, particularly offensive rebounds, is something that is necessary, especially when you're not going to be an incredible scoring shooting team.
Yeah.
And you got smooth out-rebounded, and that showed up in watching the game, that the Pistons looked like, and this is probably not a fair way of making this point, but they looked like they wanted it more, right? And that feels like it should
they
never
may be, have, though.
It feels like it should never be the case with this Rockets team that's young, athletic, energetic. You always imagine that if anything else, they will win on that front of the game, and it felt like they didn't. And that was part and parcel of a loss.
Yeah. with this Rockets team, you know, you talked about it right there, Reggie.
I mean, also, the Pistons scored 40 points in the first quarter. That also doesn't help either.
When you get off to that rocky of a start, you know, when you're supposed to be a defensive team and you give up 40 points in the first quarter, it's probably going to be a long game.
Nah, and I mean, they tightened up. They only ultimately gave up 107 all the way around.
But once you get that far behind the eight ball, I mean, it's kind of tough to get back in when, again, like you said, not a great shooting team. And when you're not a great shooting team, you pretty much, everything else has to be on point. So you can't be getting out-rebounded. They got out-rebounded, out-assisted. The Pistons had 5 blocks to their 1. So, I mean, pretty much all around, the Pistons just came out and this seemed like a much bigger game, even though, you know, it's game number 40-something of the season, 41 or whatever it is, for the Rockets. So, you know, once you start winning a little bit sometimes, I feel like even young teams can kind of get into that mode to where they play lesser teams, and it's kind of like, all right, we're probably going to win this anyway.
Yeah, you would hope
it
that.
Just you don't want that, but in a long season where you play 82 games, it's inevitable, and it's going to happen.
It's worth noting that this is a 1 p.m. game that was played yesterday. Yeah. Ime Udoka,
when you're used to playing at 7:30.
Yeah, he said that, you know, guys kind of just looked like they weren't woken up. And I imagine that he means that in a metaphorical way. But
yeah,
there's something to be said. I don't think we think enough about with basketball players, how their schedules are kind of slid later.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they get off work around 11, like 10, 11.
Yeah.
Midnight, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not they're not going right home and going to sleep in that moment. Like they're going to be up,
especially not in Houston,
right? Yeah, man. They might be up to 3-4 in the morning, but then you come back, you go, you know, you get your sleep, you wake up, and maybe you're at shoot around midday. Like that's when they were starting the game.
Yeah,
yesterday. So I mean, not to say that there's an excuse there. But
no excuses,
yeah,
it's a thing though. Let's just put it like that. That is a thing.
Yeah, and I do wonder if this is some level of new world that the Rockets live in, where you got to acknowledge that, hey, being as the number 2 seed in the West at this moment, you are now moving into that place, especially having been there for the entirety of a half a season, where now you're going to get team's best shot. And that's going to be a different level of play that's necessary, not to make this one bigger than everything else, because, again, the Rockets have been very good this season. But it was a little disconcerting seeing a loss versus a Pistons team that you are definitively better than. But hey, man, losses happen. Still 28-14, and we'll see if they still can host the Cavaliers on Wednesday. I have not seen anything to the contrary at this moment, but that is one of those places where you kind of just wait and see how that goes. Remember, you know, the airport's shut down today, both of them.
Yep.
So that's what's happening there. Speaking of the snow, it seems like there's been snowfall totals around 3 to 5 inches around the city, which apparently compared to previous snow days, this snowfall of at least 2 inches makes it the single highest day totals since 1973.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Before most of us in the building were born.
At least in the building. Yeah.
Man, my parents were not even born yet, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, Colin is super young.
Yeah, I was like, Colin, wow.
Colin is super young.
You definitely
man.
Made some people listening feel right? old right in that moment. I'll tell you that for sure.
Not just listening.
I still, Reggie, who was that guy that told that said in the text line that said I look like a teenager with a grown man's voice?
That is true. Someone did say that last time that you were on the show with us. And I still think that they're right. I think that they are right in that regard.
It's pretty accurate. That is right. Here.
Are you a tennis guy at all?
Not a big
I was
guy.
Hoping. I was hoping I could get you. Australian Open going on, the first major, or I guess Grand Slam is the way I should say it, of the year. And salute to the Americans. Last night, I guess for us, I saw Taylor Paul was the American that was facing off against Zverev. Unfortunately, he falls in that one on the men's side, but he was playing some incredible tennis, like really good range of motion, and he got himself into a couple tie breaks in the first couple sets that he lost that ultimately put him down. But on the women's side, a decent amount of Americans. Unfortunately, Coco Gauff had a lot of errors in her quarterfinal matchup, and so she falls in the quarters. But there's some other young women that are still there. And I guess I shout out the Americans, I should probably say their names. So Coco Gauff falls to Badosa. She'll face off against the reigning champion Sabalenka. But you have a Madison Keys that's still in the running, and as well as Emma Navarro. They will have quarterfinal matchups tonight that'll be on television. And then also, Ben Shelton still holding his own in the men's quarterfinals, and his action will happen late tonight as well. So shout out to the Americans in the tennis. I was
representing.
I was really hoping to give some Aussie Open updates with Figgy Fig, Figgy's my tennis guy.
He's a big tennis guy.
But Figgy's still out with the flu.
Got the flu.
And man. I was like, well, Chris, now you got to be the tennis guy for me, so I can get out these tennis shout outs. Yeah, no, I mean, like, no, it's cool. But yes, I just wanted to give those shout outs.
Throw that in there. It's all good.
Shout out to the
Americans.
It's
all good.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Americans. And shout out to all you fine folks staying warm, staying safe out there, hopefully. Out there on these, hopefully not on these streets if you don't have to be. Let us know what you're doing on the snow day on Tuesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right. That's what's popping. Well, coming up next, I should let you know, or coming up in the noon hour, which I guess is next. You'll have a chance to win 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show, which is happening January 29th to February 2nd at the NRG Center. Yes, we are still giving those tickets away all week long, so keep it locked here. But yeah, coming up in the noon o'clock hour, 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show. And coming up next, does there need to be a change in offense coordinator? And does this audio give you any pause on the possibility of that? We'll break that down next.